This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Baruch Abam. Welcome, everybody. We continue in our series of Shiurim on Sefer Bamidbar. Shiurim Bamidbar are generously sponsored by Dr. Zakheim Umishbachta, Leila Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Harav Yaakov Zakheim, and Leila Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka, Bas Tuvia Halevi, the Nisham Shem Naliyah, Began Eden Tehimenu Chasam, Adbias Goel Tzedek. Okay, also, Sefer Bamidbar is sponsored by our dear friend Rav Isaac Yasilovsky, Leila Nishmas, his father, Shabsi ben Yitzchak Isaac, Sham Shem Naliyah, Beomel Yosher for his whole family, Adbias Goel Tzedek. Tonight's learning should be Yizchus Ufrushlema for Bracha Devaira Bas Chava Shasha. There you go. If anybody wants to participate in our campaign, it's still available. There are many dedications available. Baruch Hashem, it was very successful. You could still participate. If anybody wants to join us in Sarfas in the end of July for the yard site of Rashi and to the kfarim of many of the Balei HaTosfos, please join us for that. Okay, tonight's shiur is an idea that's been germinating for a couple years. Last year I tried to say it, but I didn't have enough information on it. I couldn't develop it enough. I searched and I searched. Did anybody else say it? And the truth is, this year I don't have that much more information on it. I just figured out how to present it better. I think it's a novel idea because I don't think anybody else goes on that path, which is not always a good sign. You know, sometimes if somebody said it already, at least you know you're safe. But I think it's a very important approach to the parsha. Now, here's how I want to look at the parsha. You look at Parsha Shlach, and you have the main part of the parsha is the narrative of the Meraglim. I mean, it occupies the majority of the parsha. And mysteriously, after the episode of the Meraglim, Hashem says, okay, Klal Yisrael, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, I want you to pour wine on the Mizbeach. Like, huh? Where did that come from? Nesachim. I mean, there's 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. That's the mitzvah that after the Chet HaMeraglim, when you go into Israel, pour wine on the altar. I don't know, put on tefillin. Say, climb up a ladder and throw away the mother bird. Where did Nesachim come from? How did that come out of the blue? And then Hashem says, well, you're making challah, give a piece to the kohen. And then put on tzitzis. I mean, like three random mitzvahs. What's that got to do with the spies? They went to spy out the land for 40 days. They saw big giants. They saw big fruits. They complained. They cried. And God says, okay, you guys are going to die. Anybody over 20 is going to die. By the way, here are some mitzvahs. Pour wine on the Mizbeach. Give a piece of challah to the kohen. And we're at tzitzis. I mean, what's that got to do with anything? So I'd like to approach the parsha. I think it's a very legitimate way. And that is we have to find a common theme that these mitzvahs are not just random in this spot, but there's a parsha over here. There's something called Parsha Shlach. And there's an entity called Parsha Shlach. And this entity, there must be some kind of cohesive approach to understand why these mitzvahs were given in the aftermath of the Meraglim. I think that's probably the most basic way to understand the parsha. So in other words, can we find one common theme in the storyline of Parsha Shlach? So let us begin. The Sefarno, in this week's parsha, comments with a very innovative approach, an approach that he used earlier in Parsha Shemini. And that is, the Sfarno wants to advance that there is a specific connection between the libations and the Chet HaMeraglim. And the bottom line is, he says, that until the Chet HaMeraglim, we didn't need to pour wine on the Mizbeach. You could take a cow, shecht it, put it on the fire, and God says, Ishei Reach Nichaicha. That smells good to me. I don't need wine. In fact, when Adam brought a carbon, he didn't pour any wine on the carbon. When Noach brought a carbon, he didn't pour any wine on the carbon. All the carbonos ever brought in the Chumash, until now, there were no wine on them. So until the Chet HaEgel, the carbon was Reach Nichayach, without a meal offering, and without a wine libation. Hevel's carbon, Noach's carbon, Avram's carbon. when they went to Har Sinai, Vayalu Oilois, Vayizbuchu Zvachim, not a word about wine. Ooh, but after the Chet HaEgel, God tells them, when you bring the communal Karban Tamid, you need to pour wine. Why? Because now that you've been downgraded, now that you've sinned, I don't like your carbon if you don't have wine. I used to like barbecues alone, but now we need barbecues and wine. And that was only by the communal offer. Now, after the Chena Meraglim, not only does the communal carbon need wine, but the private carbonites need wine. Now, this is a wondrous approach. I'll tell you why. Because pouring wine is a mitzvah in the Torah. So you're telling me this mitzvah was only given in response to a sin, and if they wouldn't have sinned, we wouldn't have had this mitzvah. Can such a thing be? I thought mitzvahs are like divine realities. They just exist. They're not in response to a specific mitzvah. But the Sfarno learns, no. The mitzvah of pouring the wine is given in response to the chet of the meraglim.
So what does that mean? Beforehand it was 612, and now it's 612?
Yeah, so that's how the... Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's how the Sfarno learns. Like, similar to how, let's say the people who were Tamei never said, Lama Nigara! Well, you know, why should we lose out? There never would have been Pesach Sheni. Never been Pesach Sheni, but it says in the Torah, Pesach Sheni. You're saying there's a mitzvah in the Torah in response to something somebody said, and if they wouldn't have said it, that mitzvah wouldn't have existed? There's some... Okay, Giranosha is like pre-Torah, so... There, the mitzvah existed before the Torah was given because of an episode. But here, it's after the Torah was given. So you're going to say, had this episode not been, there wouldn't have been such a mitzvah. This is a repeated theme in the writings of the Sfarno. I'll give you another example. The mitzvah of challah. Now, I'll tell you the truth. You know, women are very into challah. Men are very into eating challah. And... So, you know, it brings bracha, really? Like, who said? Why can't, you know, buy it in the store? You save money, probably. I don't know, it's more expensive in the store, but, you know, if you buy all the ingredients, it takes about 2 hours to make it, you know. Those 2 hours, you could have made money and bought 50 challahs. So is it really a bracha to make challah, to give challah? Sfarno says, yeah. It's a pasuk in Yechezkel. The pasuk says, Rachis Arisoisechem titnu lekayhen lahaniach bracha al beisecha. When you give, you separate the portion of challah for the kohen, it brings blessing to the house. You want blessing in your house? Bake challah. You don't have time to bake challah? Bake it once in a while. Once in a while, bake challah. Woman works, she can't bake challah every week. Sometimes it's a good idea to do it. Because this way you have the bracha of hafrashas challah. Fine. And the Sfarno quotes further. Eliyahu HaNavi, the woman, remember the Isha Shinam, she has no money. She has all these debts. So Eliyahu comes and says, you know what? We're going to take the jugs. I'm going to fill it up with oil. Then you're going to pour the jug into the other jug and the jug into the other jug. But Eliyahu says, oh, but wait a second. The first thing you need to do is give me a cookie. Do you remember that? I forgot about that part. Eliyahu says, give me a cookie. He says to the lady... He says, Aseli Mishamuga Katana, give me a little cookie first. Before I give you like millions of dollars worth of oil, first give me a cookie. So what's that all about? He's a kohen. Give me challah. Give me challah, you get blessing. You want blessing? Be mafresh challah. So there's a biblical yesod. You want blessing? You're looking for blessing in your house? Bake challah and separate a piece of it. Now, nowadays we don't give it to the kohen. What should you do with it? Some women, they burn it in the oven. Might not be a good idea. Because if you don't cover it, you might trafe up your oven. So it might be better to put it in silver foil and put it away and then maybe burn in the chametz. Ask your local Orthodox rabbi what the best thing to do with the challah. I personally do not tell my wife to burn it straight in the oven. It could cause mishap. She wraps it up, she puts it away. Erev Pesach, we put in the big bonfire. But you'll ask your local Orthodox rabbi. So it says the Sfarno, before the Chet HaEgel, there's no mitzvah of challah. You don't need the bracha. You're a holy nation. Why do you need skulos? Why do you need blessings? Now you got in trouble. You sinned with the Egel, and you sinned with the Meraglim. You need extra blessing. Here's the mitzvah of challah. Okay, so you have two mitzvahs in response to sin. You have the mitzvah of nesachim. You have the mitzvah of challah. What about tzitzis? I don't know. Sfarno doesn't say. Now, it's interesting. The Sfarno uses this trick elsewhere in Chumash. Who remembers what parsha talks about eating kosher food and not eating trey food? Kosher animals and not. Are you allowed to eat a lion? Shlomi, are you allowed to eat a lion? Did your wife ever make you lion steak? Never. Good. You're allowed to eat a hippopotamus? No. Where's Azriel? Are you allowed to... allowed to eat an elephant? No. What parsha does that say it in? Shmini. Shmini is before the Torah was given or after the Torah was given? Well, after. What's going on? Why, when God gave the Torah to Jewish people, didn't He say, don't eat treif? Says Asfarno, because they were allowed to eat treif. Why not? Why can't you eat treif? Oh, because it banishes God. No, it doesn't. God's close enough with you, you could eat an elephant, and He'll still be cool with you. There was no prohibition to eat non-kosher food when the Torah was given. Only after the Chet HaEgel, and we were downgraded. And, by the way, the Sfarno says, that's why before the Torah was given, God didn't say, build a Mishkan. You know, what do you need a Mishkan for? I come to live in, on you. After the sin of the Egel, only then God commanded to build the Mishkan. Only then God commanded about kosher food. So the Sfarno throughout Chumash has a very interesting approach that certain mitzvahs are in response to certain chataim, other Jewish people. Okay, so that's the beginning. I would like to suggest another connection between the pouring of the wine on the Mizbeach and the Chet HaMeraglim. We all know that one of the three things the world stands on, Al HaTorah V'Al HaVaida. Do we bring karbanos today? No. So what do we have in lieu of karbanos? Tefillah. So Mincha, Shachris is instead of Karban Tamid. Mincha is in the Talmud Shabbat Arbaim. Marav is Hekter Chalavim Ve'evarim. But what about the pourings? What do you do instead of the pourings? That's why people think you have Kiddush Club instead of the pour. No. Kiddush Club is the root of all evil in the world. Adam Harishain, and he came, God said, don't eat from the wine. God said, you'll eat from it Friday night on Shabbos. Adam said, no, I can't wait till Kiddush. I need to have premature Kiddush. And Adam had premature Kiddush, and he brought death to the world. Anytime somebody dies, it's because Adam had a Kiddush club. So next time you're thinking about Kiddush club, think about the snake and Adam and Eve and all the ills of society. Anyway, what is in place of the pouring of the wine? If the carbon is replaced by tefillah, what replaces the pouring of the wine? Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, the tears that somebody puts into their prayer take the place of nischei mayim, the pouring of the water. Isn't that interesting? We know there's water is poured on the Mizbeach. The tears that somebody sheds during their tefillah is in the place of nischei mayim. The Marsha, though, in Erevin, seems to say that a person's tears during tefillah corresponds to the nischei hayayin, because most karbanos you don't pour water with. Only on Sukkos you pour water. But every karban had nischei yayin. So what takes the place of the pouring of the wine? Tears. When you cry during tefillah, that takes the place of the nischei yayin. So a very interesting thought occurred to me. What was the sin of the Meraglim? They came back and they said, the land of Israel, it's a dangerous place. There are monsters there. The fruits are like mutant fruits. Look at these grapes. They're the size of bowling balls. You know, it's Eretz Eichelas Yeshua. And they cried for nothing. And God said, you cried for nothing, I didn't give you reason to cry. So Tisha B'Av every year. So what replaces improper tears? Proper tears. And instead of... Now, proper tears, yeah? Proper tears are instead of the pouring of the wine. So Hashem says, you know what the tikkun is for your crying for nothing? The nesachim on the Mizbeach. In other words, that's the connection between the pouring of the wine and the Chet HaMeraglim. The Chet HaMeraglim was crying for naught. So instead of crying for naught, God says, now you have the Nesachim, the Nischei Hayayin. Maybe that's the connection between the mitzvah of Nischei Hayayin and the Chet HaMeraglim.
Is that why we say Tachman?
I mean, but that's like crying?
Yeah.
Yeah, halavai, people should have any kavanah for that. But look, in Tachnun we say, Bidimasi Arsi Amsa. Stop 100 people if they know what that means. Bidimasi Arsi Amsa. In my tear, my couch bed, I soak. David HaMelech says, I soak my bed every night in prayer. Okay. Comes Rabbeinu Bechaye, and Rabbeinu Bechaye offers another connection between the mitzvah of Nischei Hayayin and the Chet HaMeraglim. Says Rabbeinu Bechaye, the mitzvah of pouring the wine was to be mechazik the Jewish people. God just said, you guys are not going into the land of Israel. Any man between 20 and 60, you're not going into the land. So you know what the Jewish people said? We're not going into the land. And what do you think? Our kids going to go into the land? By the time 40 years comes, someone's going to do another sin. We're never getting in. That's what the Jewish people said. Forget it. We'll never get into the land of Israel. We messed up within 2 years. And now it's being pushed up for 40 years. Imagine how many sins we'll do in 40 years. So God says, don't worry. When you come to the land of your inheritance, you're going to pour wine. In other words, don't worry about it. You're getting in. You're getting in. Hashem was mechazik them. Hashem was consoling them. It's going to happen. You're going to get in. Now the Tzvar Hamor, you know who the Tzvar Hamor is? Rabbi Avram Saba. Rabbi Avram Saba was one of the Gerushei Sfarad, one of the great leaders of Jewry in the beginning of the 16th century. He was expelled from Spain in 1492. He lost all his manuscripts. He had to rewrite them from memory. He had a child who was forcibly baptized and taken away, never saw again. His granddaughter married the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Karo. He says a beautiful pshat. He says, Ribbono Shel Olam always allows a person to have a rectification, to fix up anything they may have done improperly. So here it is, the Jews sinned with grapes. They come to the Jewish people with these massive grapes, and through the massive grapes they brought death to all the male Jews from 20 to 60, and they ruin God's whole plan. So they sin through Geffen, through Yayin. So Hashem immediately says, I'm going to give you a tikkun through Yayin. I'm going to give you rectification through Yayin. You're going to come to the land of Israel. You're going to take the grapes. You're going to pour them on the Mizbeach. Don't think I'm banishing you. I'm abolishing you. I'm chasing you away. You've messed up for good. No, with grapes. I warn you, even with the grapes. You could fix it up with the grapes. You're going to come to the land of Israel. You're going to squeeze the grapes. You're going to pour out wine on the Mizbeach. God never allows a person to disappear, to fall away. La'yidach mimenu nidach. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam always gives a person an opportunity to rectify themselves.
Why were the miraculous killed?
Because they were punished. But the Jewish people,
they had a chance to rectify.
They did. They were rectified by dying. That was their chance, you know. But the Jewish people as a whole, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam didn't banish them. Now, I saw a very interesting approach in a sefer. It's called Pre-Megadav, not to be confused with the Pre-Megadim. It was written by a rabbi. I'm sure he's a wonderful person. I have no idea who he is. It's a contemporary. He quotes another great Rav, who I'm sure is very great. I also don't know who he is. Chaim HaKoyin Shlita, the author of the sefer Talalei Chaim. And he's bothered by this question of the unusual juxtaposition of the Chet HaMeraglim, followed by the Nischei Yayin, followed by the mitzvah of Challah, followed by the mitzvah of Tzitzis. What does one thing got to do with the other? And he says, if you study the parsha carefully, you'll notice the Chet HaMeraglim is very reminiscent of the sin of Adam. Why? In what way? Because how did Adam sin? The woman saw the tree. She saw the tree. All problems start when you see something. That's where it all starts from. Here it is, you're minding your own business, you're sitting in the shul, you're going home, you don't have any big hasa, and then you see it, the ad, the thing, you want it, you need it, you're drawn to it. If you wouldn't have seen it, the fact that you know it exists doesn't elicit the same desire. It always comes from seeing. And the Meraglim also sinned. Losoras haaretz, they sinned by seeing. What was the sin of Adam? He ate from the grape. They also brought a grape. Adam Arishon, what did God do to him? Took off his clothing, his garments of light, gave him leather garments. What do Yeshua and Kalev do? They tear off their clothing. What is the tikkun for the sin of the Meraglim? Nisach Hayayin. And what about according to the opinion that the sin of Adam was wheat and not gefen? So Hashem says, according to that opinion, mitzvah chala. So whatever Adam did wrong, whether it was wine, pour the wine in the mizbeach. Whether it was wheat, bimafresh chala. Whether it was seeing, we know tzitzis is a lashon of seeing. Made tzitz min hacharakim. Or it says by the mitzvah of by the Meraglim, Uri Yisem Oisai, it says, Taru Es Haaretz, and by Tzitzis it says, V'loi Sasuru. Now it's very interesting. In the Sefer Be'er Moshe, of the Oizharava Rebbe, who is buried in Bnei Brak, and his grandson, Rabbi Langer, gave me his Sfarim, he also brings the idea that Tzitzis is a direct rectification for the Meraglim. The sin of the Meraglim is they had all these cheshbonos, calculations. It's not a good idea to go into Israel because the politics, too many elections. They had all kinds of cheshbonos. We'll never get a majority in the Knesset. They had all kinds of calculations of why we shouldn't go into Israel. And the mitzvah of tzitzis, the Gemara Menachos calls it the chain of the Eved. It binds the Eved to his master. It's an idea of being subjugated and nullified to the ideas of the master. Interesting, Rameir Shapiro points out that almost every year we lay in Parsha Shlach, I never realized this, Shabbos Mevarchim Tamaz. So it comes out good, because he said in most years, this year, Shlach is Shabbos Mevarchim Tamaz. So it comes out good for this year, it happens to be. And the Chodesh of Tammuz, you know, Tammuz is a mnemonic, is a Rosh Tevois. Zmanei Teshuvah Memashmashin Uba'in. I knew you thought of that yourself, but I just figured he also says that. Zmanei Teshuvah Memashmashin Uba'in. Because we know the month of El is the month of Teshuvah. In Av, Av stands for, don't get too comfortable up in the mountains, Elul Ba. Elul is coming. Av stands for Elul Ba. And Tammuz is, you know, you think you have some a little break. No. Elul's coming. Zmanei tshuva mamash mishnuba. Now, that Rizal says that every month of the year corresponds to different parts of the head. And Tammuz and Av correspond to the two eyes. And that's what we say in Eicha. Eini oilala lenavshi mikol benois iri. My eyes cause me the most trouble. And that's why the Meraglim, they were drawn, they ended up sinning because of their seeing, they were tarim, and therefore the mitzvah of tzitzis is masaking that because uri isem oisai. Yeah, they kept their eyes good, but everybody else went down. It all depends how you see what you see. Not everybody sees what everybody else saw. Some people see other things. Interesting, the Masorah points out that the word Uri'isem appears two times. We have it in the beginning of the Parsha by the Meraglim. We have Uri'isem Es Haaretz, and we have it by the Mitzvah of Tzitzis, Uri'isem Aisai. So that also draws a connection between the sin of the Meraglim, which came about Ayidei Uri'isem Aisai, was somehow rectified through the mitzvah of tzitzis. The sin of the Meraglim, Uri Isem Es Haaretz, was rectified through Uri Isem Aisai. Okay, Mor V'Raboisai, you came this evening, and I want to share with you, I think this is a gem of a discovery. I didn't really find any authentic original source that says this, but I think it's so compelling that it's really, it's like a nuclear observation. It's a powerful observation. I think this will revolutionize your understanding of the parasha. I didn't find anybody who says it other than this year. Last year I couldn't find anybody. This year I found in one sefer that I never heard of, I don't even know who wrote it, a contemporary sefer. I think this is really eye-opening. You know, we start Parsha Shlach, it says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, Shlach Lecha Anoshim. And we have no idea where the story takes place. Did you know? Do you know where the story takes place? It doesn't say in this week's Parsha. And that's because we forgot the last pasuk of last week's Parsha. And I think the last pasuk of last week's Parsha is like a bomb. After the episode of Miriam, who spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, V'achar nasi'u ha'amechat seirois v'ayachanuhu b'midbar paran. So the people traveled from Chatzeros and they went to Midbar Paran. Okay, that's nice. Did you ever go to Midbar Paran on vacation? Anybody know where Midbar Paran is? Who lives in Midbar Paran? Ooh, there's a guy, I remember him. Parshas Vayera. He was actually a man by the name of the son of Avraham Avinu. You know who his name was? Yishmael. Midbar Paran is where Yishmael lived. Look in Vayera. Vayeshev b'midbar Paran v'tikach lo imoy isha me'aretz Mitzrayim. Okay, that's one clue. The Meraglim, the Maisa Meraglim happened when the Jews were stationed in the land of Yishmael. The Avira that tore us away from the land of Israel stemmed from the land of Yishmael. Is there anybody who wants to cut off the Jewish people more from the land of Israel than Yishmael? No! So you think it's a coincidence that the Maisa Meraglim that we're suffering, we are not entitled to Eretz Yisrael fully today. We're cut off from the land today. Why? Because of the Meraglim. Where did that come from? The land of Yishmael. You think that's a coincidence? That's the clincher of the whole thing. No? That's the Hakdama. You want to know what the intro, sin of the Meraglim is? It happened through the land of Yishmael. That's a bomb, no? That's a bomb. I didn't see that anywhere. Now, another interesting clue. This I cannot crack for the life of me. We're learning Hilchos Tzitzis now. The Torah says, how do you put on a talis? How do you wrap a talis? Ke'atifas Yishmaelim. What? Imagine if we had a mitzvah. Put up a mezuzah, how? Like Nebuchadnezzar. You know? Imagine, sit in the sukkah like Titus HaRasha. How do you put on a talis? Like Yishmael. I mean, we can't find a better paradigm of doing a mitzvah than Yishmael. So I've been searching. There must be, if the sin of the Meraglim stemmed from the land of Yishmael, and tzitzis is given as like the finale of Parashat Shlach, as a tikkun for the Meraglim, somehow tzitzis has got to be a tikkun for the Chet HaMeraglim. Those are some of the pieces I have. I don't have all the pieces here. So I found in two Svarim, contemporary Svarim, I never heard of, neither did any. The Adir Bamoroim on Inyanei Talis V'Tzitzis, I could not find this last year. He points out the Torah says you should wrap a talis like Atifas Yishmael. He says Yishmael had a particular kayach of his tefillos were answered, Kishama Hashem El Anyech. And that means Yishmael didn't have a kayach atfilos. So when we're about to daven, we want to be mevatel their kayach, so we put on the talis Ka Atifas Yishmaelim. Also in the Sefer Or HaKoilel, number 21, he says Yishmael's kayach was ba'asher husham, and his tefillos were answered, and maybe that's why we put on a talis katifas Yishmaelim to be mevatel the kayach of Yishmael. to me, it's very significant that if the Chayit HaMeraglim, the sin that cut us away from the Holy Land for 40 years, and until today, if you look in Tehillim, God says, I swear I will scatter you throughout the nations of the world because of the sin of the Meraglim. Till today, we're still suffering from the Meraglim. I'll tell you something very powerful. People say, I always wax poetic about moving to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, I know how to talk about it. Well, Halavaya should be able to do it. But in Eicha, we read, Bacha esiv kaheb alayla Vidimasa alecheya Ein lo menachei mikolai haveha. It says she weeps bitterly at night. Vidimasa alecheya. Her tear is on her cheek. The Baal Nesivos HaMishpat says, what does it mean, her tear is on her cheek? He says, when the Meraglim came back and said, it's a bad land, the Jews cried. We're still crying about that. Eretz Yisrael is ours. In other words, we haven't rectified that sin yet. The same apathy that the Meraglim engendered in the Jewish people toward the land of Israel, we still have that same, that crying that they cried to disattach from the land, we're still crying. So we still don't want to be there. We're very happy here. There are more pizza stores here. There are better sports franchises here. There are better yeshiva. Everything is better in America. So the tears of the Meraglim, v'dimasa alecheya, the tears are still on our cheek. So, the sin of the Meraglim, which was engendered by Yishmael, so if, no wonder, by the way, no wonder we still have problems in Eretz Yisrael with Yishmael. It's just maybe an outgrowth of the sin of the Meraglim. Now, again, you know another proof that Yishmael lives in Paran? In V'zois HaBracha. When Hashem gave us the Torah, it's V'zois HaBracha. Asher beirach Moshe sholekim. So, vayoyimar Hashem misinai. Ba v'zarach miseir. Rashi says God offered the Torah to Esav. Hoyfia mehar Paran. God offers the Torah to Yishmael. Paran is the land of Yishmael. And I found in the Sefer Shafrir Tzedek that in his opinion, it's very compelling that when the Meraglim passed through the land of Paran, they were affected by the tumah of Yishmael. And just like Yishmael mocked Yitzchak, and he says, you'll never inherit the land of Israel, the Meraglim mocked the Holy Land, and they said to the Jewish people, you'll never inherit the Holy Land. And just like Yishmael, he didn't want to live in Israel. He lived in Midbar Paran. So the Meraglim were the same thing. They said, let's not go into Eretz Yisrael. And Yishmael, where does Yishmael go to live? Who remembers? Where did Yishmael go to live? He's always going to Egypt. Yishmael's always going to Egypt. So the Meraglim said, let's go back to Egypt. They said the exact same thing as Yishmael. Tenu reish v'noshev Mitzrayimah. And just like Yishmael despised the Holy Land, the Meraglim followed suit. Now, what was the fate of Yishmael? Goreshes ben ha'amah azos ki lo yirash. He was banished. You're not going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. So we followed in the path of Yishmael. That was the fate of the Jewish people as well. Very interesting. So is it a coincidence that the sin of the Meraglim was rooted in the land of Yishmael, and the mitzvah given at the end of the parasha, so presumably to rectify that, is tzitzis, and we wrap it ki Yishmaeli? Now, another interesting thing is, what do the Yishmaelim specialize in? Which Avera? So when Hashem offered the Torah to Esav, Esav says, what does it say in it? So God said, Lois Sirtzach. So he said, so what are we supposed to do then? That's our specialty. So God went to Yishmael. What did Yishmael say? Lois Sinaf. Right? The Gemara in Kedushin says, 10 measurements of illicit, promiscuous behavior came down to the world. Arvia took 9 of them. The Arabian Peninsula took 9 of them. Despite the way they are malbish atzmam, it's only mibachutz. It's interesting then. So if tzitzis is somehow a tikkun against Yishmael, and we know the purpose of tzitzis, Chazal say, My friend Gedalia Schwartz, when I was discussing with him the topic of the shir, he cited the Gemara that says, you know, there's somebody who's going to do an Avera and he was about to sin with a woman and he got slapped in the face with the tzitzis. The tzitzis protect a person from immoral behavior. So is there any wonder then that tzitzis, which somehow is a rectification for what happened through the land of Yishmael, is the mitzvah that is the greatest protection against arayos? And then after the sheet was printed, I had to put another marimakam on the sheet. And one more idea. You know, in Ahava Rabbah, or Ahava Soilam, right before Shema in the morning, we say, V'havienu l'shalom me'arba kanfois ha'aretz. And we gather the tzitzis. Or if you daven nusach sfard, Maher v'havei aleinu bracha v'shalom me'arba kanfois ha'aretz. So I always thought, okay, it's very cute. We say, God, gather Israel from all corners of the world, from a kanfois, and these are dalet kanfois. So let's do this like really cute thing before Shemon Esrei. The Jews are going to come from the four corners of the world, and these are called dalet kanfois, so we're going to gather it together. But not that actually going like this with tzitzis has anything to do with the ingathering of the Jews. Is it just like a play on words? So I saw a very interesting idea in Rabbeinu Bachai. Rabbeinu Bachai says, why on the tzitzis, you have a third of the tzitzis wound and tied, and a third scattered? And he says tzitzis is a remez to the pizur and gullus of the Jewish people. And we're scattered through Edom and Yishmael. And we're on a very low level. But ultimately, the scattered bottom strings will be gathered and bound tightly and tied up back to the land of Israel. Now, he doesn't say that's why we go like this when we say, but the Rabbeinu Bachai says the strings and the knots of the tzitzis represent the scattering, dispersal, and ingathering of the Jewish people. So now we understand why we gather the tzitzis as a remez to the ingathering of the exiles, because the tzitzis actually represent the strings. The scattered strings are the galus, and the wound strings are the geula. So can it be also that because of the Chet HaMeraglim, we know that God swore. Actually, it's interesting. You know the first shir I gave here in the Young Israel? Last year, Parsha Shlach was shir number one. I remember. And we spoke about the fact that in Tehillim, there's a pasuk that says, Vayisa Yado Elohem Lezaroisam Ba'aratzois, that because of the Chet HaMeraglim, God swore He would scatter us throughout the world. And the question is, where in the Chumash do we find God swearing that He's going to scatter the Jewish people? So we said over from the Imre Emes and from the Netziv that when Hashem says, Chai Oni, I swear, V'yimolei Chavoideis Kalaris, my honor will fill the world. What's God's honor? The Jewish people are God's honor. So when He swears that His honor will fill the world, He's swearing He will exile us to the whole world. So as a result of the Chet HaMeraglim, Hashem is swearing there's going to be a Golos. So what mitzvah is given, so to speak, that is a haftacha, that vouchsafes that one day will be ingathered? That's a mitzvah of tzitzis. So it comes out very beautiful that as, so to speak, a consolation for the sin of the meraglim and for the impending golos, Hashem gives us the mitzvah of tzitzis, which basically is a tangible mitzvah that even though right now, you know, we're scattered, but the day will come that we will be tied back and ingathered, and I think that's also a very strong connection between the mitzvah of tzitzis and the story of the meraglim. So basically, in summation, the whole parsha is thematic in the sense that, as the Sfarno says, the mitzvah of pouring of the wine is a direct result of the Chet HaMeraglim. Until then, we didn't need wine for Hashem to favor our karbanos. Now we need the wine. Until then, we didn't need the mitzvah of challah for there to be blessing in our house. Now we need the mitzvah of challah to be blessing in our house. We said the pouring of the wine, which is counteracts the tears of the Meraglim. The same way a tears in tefillah is in place of the pouring of the wine in the Mizbeach, the pouring on the wine in the Mizbeach is a tikkun, perhaps, for the improper tears of the Meraglim. And the mitzvah of pouring the wine is rectifying the improper use of the grapes, that the Meraglim use the grapes, and the idea that the sin of the Meraglim is reminiscent of the sin of Adam Rishon. So we have a tikkun with grapes, we have a tikkun with wheat, we have a tikkun with clothing, and the idea that the Uri'isem Esha'aretz is rectified by Uri'isem Oisai, that the sin of the Meraglim was in this dark, murky land of the Yishmaelim, and somehow it's not coincidence that the Yishmaelim, who always are vying for the land, were the source, they were the host. You know, who hosted the sin of the Meraglim? Who hosted the sin of the Meraglim? Yishmael. Now another idea that's brewing, I don't have it yet, maybe for next year, is the sale of Yosef is very reminiscent of the sin of the Meraglim. Yosef was sold by Yishmaelim. This takes place in Midbar Paran. When the brothers come to look for Yosef, what does Yosef say? Meraglim atem. So, and there are 10 of them. There are 10 brothers. And Rabbeinu Bechai says, reminiscent of the 10 Meraglim. So that's also an area to explore, but I can't give away too much, otherwise what am I going to do next year? And we have many commonalities between the sin of Yishmael and the sin of the Meraglim. They both mocked the land, they both went back to Egypt, they both were banished from the land, and the mitzvah of tzitzis is somehow a tikkun for the sin of the Meraglim. There's this unique aspect of tzitzis that we wrap it, ka'atifas yishma'elim. Tzitzis protects us from arayos, which is the specialty of Yishmael. And as a result of the Meraglim, God decreed to scatter us, and we have the mitzvah of tzitzis that represents our ultimate ingathering. And we should all be zoicha, maher v'have aleinu bracha v'shalom me'arba kanfei sa'aretz. We should all be zoicha to rectify the sin, wipe away the tear that's alecheya, and return letzion barina. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful night.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.